a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The South Dakota Senate will now come to order. And leading us in our prayer today is Reverend Mike Bishop of the Cornerstone Nazarene Church here in Pier. And leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag is Sean McGinnis, a page this term from Isabel.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we come before you this day and we thank you for another beautiful day in the state of South Dakota. Father, my prayer today is for these men and women who sit in this chamber. Father, I pray that you would help them to serve the citizens of this great state with honor and integrity. Father, we also pray for the men and women who are serving in our armed forces that are from our state, the 200th. Father, we ask that you would surround them with your protection during this time. More than anything today, Father, I pray that you would just allow us to serve you. Father, everything that we do today, everything that is said, thought, and done, may it bring glory and honor to you. And I pray all these things in the name of my Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, call the roll, please.
Adelstein, Begalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frericks, Frisley, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Kraus, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Norstrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 12th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move adoption of the report. Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. It is so adopted. Ladies and gentlemen, listening on the Internet and those present in the South Dakota Senate chambers, we really appreciate you being here today and enjoy your presence and your involvement in your self-governance. We have a very, very special day as well. Not only are you here, but we have behind us here a number of honored guests. And as I introduce them, I'd like for them to stand up, and let's please hold applause until all of them have stood up, please. Honored guests in the Senate today are school administrators, the South Dakota Outstanding School Administrators for this year. First, we have Steve Morford, who is the Secretary Principal from Spearfish. Next, we have Nick Gottlob, who is a middle school principal from the Lead Deadwood School District. Next is Sarah Richards, who is a special ed director from Canton. Next, Jana Ellingson, who is the curriculum director from City of Flandreau School District. Terry Brooks is the business manager for the Chamberlain School District. Faith Stratton, the elementary principal at Chester. Mark Gregerson, who is the superintendent at Chester. And Demetria Moon, who is the assistant secondary principal at Huron. Ladies and gentlemen, our school administrators of South Dakota, Outstanding School Administrators of the Year. We were all touched by educators, and thank you for your dedication and service. At this time, would I ask that Mr. John Peterson, where is John? Is he back here too? Stand at attention, will you, John? I was just informed that John Peterson has been the executive director of the school administrators for a number of years, a great advocate and educator of all of us. And education is a lifelong exercise, as we all know, but I understand that He announced his retirement here. In a few months, he'll be retiring. And I think we all owe people like this who act for these associations, who educate us, and especially in the way that you've done it, John, a tremendous round of applause for your service to us. Ladies and gentlemen, John Peterson. Kind of liked how you snapped to attention, too, John. That was very nice. Also like to recognize the individuals from the Habitat for Humanity. What a great organization. Would you please stand? Thank you for what you do. And I see former Senator Al Hirth is here. Al, welcome. Good to see you, Senator. Okay, especially the students today, we have great visits. Thank you for being here. We'd like to welcome, on behalf of Senator Frerichs and all of us, the Wilmot High School government class and their instructor, Mr. Eric, is it Lappy or Lap? Lappy, very good. Welcome.
All right, over here.
Thank you, Mr. Lappy, for bringing them. On behalf of Senator Brown, welcome the senior government class from Eureka, Bowdell, and their advisor, Mr. Bellotto and Mr. Is it Giroux or Giroux? Either way, welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. On behalf of Senator Nordstrup and all of us, we also would like to welcome the 7th and 8th graders from Long Lake Colony, Spring Creek Colony, and Grassland Colony of the Loyola School District. Would you please stand? There we are. Welcome.
Mr. President.
Yes, do we have a caller?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Personal
sir.
Privilege.
Senator Nygaard, personal privilege granted.
I just see that we have another senator, past senator, up in the gallery. You probably had it on your list, but I didn't know if you're going to get it. Senator Gerstad from.
You are correct. I didn't have it on the list, but let's do it now. How's that?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Senator Gerstad, welcome. Thank you. Senator, on behalf of Senator Brown, all of us would like to welcome the senior government class from Highmore Herald and their advisor, Mr. Mike Ring. Highmore Herald, welcome. And on behalf of Senator Bradford, we have Kadoka here yet? Okay, we'll wait on that. And where's Dr. Heineman? There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, doctors of the day come and volunteer for the whole day to take care of us. And Dr. Heineman's done that for many years, and the Medical Association coordinates that. But, Doctor, it's a privilege again to have you here again, and thank you for taking care of us. Our doctor of the day, Dr. Dan Heineman. Okay, we'll wait and see if our Kadoka friends show up. Any other personal privileges? Okay. Thank you very, very much. And again, welcome everyone. Oh, I had an announcement. Oh, okay. Right now, though? Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but we got a late call. It just came in through the Krogman line. Just a second. Yes, okay. It's a good thing the acoustics work in here. Ladies and gentlemen, and tonight we have a reception with all of you at the South Dakota Realtors, the South Dakota Home Builders, South Dakota Land Title. They'll be hosting a reception for us tonight. But Realtors of South Dakota, please stand, and all the other organizations. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Thanks. That's tonight from 6 to 8, by the way. So thank you, Dean, very much. Any other shout-outs, or we're good to go? Okay. Thank you very much. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports it has had under consideration House Bill 1069 and recommends due pass. Senate Bill 171 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Schleckaway, Chair. Committee on Transportation reports Senate Bill 80, which was tabled, and Senate Bill 118, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Valley, Chair. The Committee on Taxation reports Senate Bill 100 and recommends due pass as amended and placed on the consent calendar. And 111 recommends due pass as amended and placed on the consent calendar. Senator Hansen, Chair. The Committee on State Affairs reports House Joint Resolution 1001 and House Bill 1056 and recommends due pass. Senate Bill 114 recommends due pass as amended, and Senate Bill 124 due pass as amended. Senator Roden, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services reports Senate Bill 163, which was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Senator Hunhoff, Chair. Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bill 12 was delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 10:30 a.m. February 1, 2012. Bob Gray, Chair.
I was also informed today, thank you, that Rob Monson, on behalf of Representative Putnam, who's the president of the National Association of Elementary School Principals, is here, and he's the elementary principal at Parkston. Oh, that's impressive. Mr. Monson, where are you, sir? Oh, did he leave? Oh, we'll applaud for him anyway. Tell him. Thank you. Great. Thank you, Senator Putnam. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1026, 1037, 1041, 1076, 1088, 1154, 1177, 1182, 1196, and House Joint Resolution 1004, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Karen Gerdes, Chief Clerk.
Consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the standing committees on education on Senate Bill 106 as found on page 224 of the Senate Journal, Commerce and Energy on Senate Bill 11 as found on page 224 of the Senate Journal, Commerce and Energy, Senate Bill 103 on page 225 of the Senate Journal, Commerce and Energy on Senate Bill 115 as found on page 225 of the Senate Journal, Judiciary on Senate Bill 68 is found on page 226 of the Senate Journal. Judiciary on Senate Bill 76 is found on page 227 of the Journal. And Judiciary on Senate Bill 86 is found on page 227 of the Senate Journal be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1037, an act to revise the purpose of the Agricultural Mediation Program. House Bill 1041, an act to authorize a carryover of the fiscal year 2012 state aid to special education appropriation to fiscal year 2013 for the purpose of maintaining federal maintenance of effort levels. 1026, an act to repeal certain outdated or unnecessary statutes related to the Department of Social Services. 1177, an act to establish provisions to exempt breastfeeding mothers or new parents from jury duty. 1076, an act to retain certain members of municipal governing bodies in office following the redistricting of municipal wards. 1088, an act to revise certain requirements for charging and collecting certain fees for confining certain people in the county jail. 1154, enact to revise certain provisions concerning the construction of roads outside the road district. 1182, enact to revise the filing deadlines for the nomination of certain independent candidates. 1196, enact to revise certain provisions concerning lobbyists. House Joint Resolution 1004 to propose a constitutional amendment regarding legislative term limits.
For our students, and actually for everyone, what was transpiring there is these were bills that passed in the House. In our Constitution, which requires people to vote on to change, and obviously was done many, many years ago before computers came in, required that we read these bills' titles. And then in a minute here, I'll read where they're assigned to committee, and that was so people could write down where what the bills were, their titles, follow the number, and what committee they're assigned to. We obviously have computers now, but since it's required by our Constitution, we go through this exercise. These House bills obviously passed the House and are here to the Senate for consideration. The President pro tem and the Senate has assigned, and the President announces the following assignments. House Bill 1037, Agriculture and Natural Resources. 1041, Appropriations. 1026, Health and Human Services. Judiciary, 1177, Local Government. House Bills 1076 and 1088. State Affairs, 1182, 1196, and House Joint Resolution 1004. And I announce that 1154 is assigned to Transportation. Our next item of business is what's called the consent calendar. These are bills that have come through. These are Senate bills. There are a couple of House bills, too. And these bills are bills that actually came out of the committee unanimously. No one opposed them. And then the committee can put them on a calendar where we don't debate them. Yeah, questions may be asked, but there's no discussion on the bills. It's a matter of efficiency because of the workload that we have. But any legislator, in this case the senators, can pull it off, and we would debate that tomorrow. And in this case, we have two of such bills. Consent calendar.
Senator Peters requests that House Bill 1011 be removed from the consent calendar. And Senator Schleckaway requests that Senate Bill 91 be removed from the consent calendar. Senate Bill 22, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the vacation or the change of location of county and township highways on school and public lands. Senate Bill 101, an act to authorize counties to borrow money using promissory notes. House Bill 1012, an act to require public hearings for applications for oil and gas orders only if contested and to reduce the number of hearing notice publications required for oil and gas cases. House Bill 1013, an act to repeal certain obsolete statutes regarding the Department of Environment and Natural Resources.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, Senate Bills 22-101, House Bills 1012 and 1013, having received a reading, second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing no questions, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bills 22-101, 1012, and 1013. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein. Adelstein.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Bradford,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buell,
aye.
Cutler,
aye.
Frerichs,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Hansen,
aye.
Haverly,
aye.
Heineman,
aye.
Holeen,
aye.
Hunstead,
aye.
Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston,
aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Krause,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Norstrup,
aye.
Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. Senate Bills 22-101, House Bill 1012 and 1013, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Any questions on the titles? Hearing none, the titles deemed approved. Okay, second reading of Senate bills. These are our debate calendar bills. Please proceed, Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill 71, an act to modify the requirements relating to the publication of the administrative rules.
Thank you. Senate Bill 71, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Brown, good afternoon.
I'd move to defer Senate Bill 71.
Say again.
I'd move to defer Senate Bill 71 until Monday.
Till Monday? All those, it's been moved and seconded to defer Senate Bill 71 till Monday. All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. It is so deferred. Thank you.
Senate Bill 149, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the conditional release of persons charged with domestic abuse.
Senate Bill 149, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Good afternoon, Senator Cutler.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the body. In cases which involve an arrest for domestic violence, Senate Bill 149 will remind the court of the bond conditions found in 251023, which require no contact with the victim and makes it a Class 1 misdemeanor if there is prohibited contact. This will help victims during that most critical period when their safety and their lives are of most concern. Thank you for your continued support of victims of domestic violence, and I ask that you support Senate Bill 149. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 149? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 149. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frericks.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. Senate Bill 149, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the question. The title is deemed approved. Thank you.
Senate Bill 102, an act to clarify the procedures for apportionment of funds among townships.
Senate Bill 102, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. There we go. You know, when I went to school, one of my least favorite courses was accounting. And then when I changed businesses and got into banking, everything changed, your debits and credits, because loans were now assets and not liabilities. So I called them credits, and I started working with buckets. So that's how we're going to work with this today. We're going to have three buckets to explain this situation. This is a simple bill, but it's not simple to explain. Remember last year when we did the registrations? That money goes to three places. It goes to, number one, it goes to the counties. Number two, it goes to the municipal roads. And number three, it goes to the township roads. The county roads are what we're going to call the county trunk system roads, the primary roads. That's in one bucket. We're going to set it over here. We're going to forget about him. We got another one called the municipal roads, and that's in another bucket. We'll put that over here. We got one bucket left, and that is the township roads. Now, this is fairly simple, except there are a lot of counties that don't have all their townships organized. So those roads are called county secondary roads, and they both got to share this same bucket. Now, in our state, we have about 14 counties that don't have any townships. So it's pretty easy to divide that money up. It all goes to the county secondary roads. And then we've got about another 22 counties that have all townships are organized. So it's real easy to divide that money up. It goes to all the townships. But we got some counties, about 30 of them, that have township roads and county secondary roads, and we got to divide that up. And that's up to the county auditor to decide how to divide that money up. That should seem to be pretty simple. We just take, you know, add up the number of miles in each one, and we divide the money appropriately. There's just one little problem. It's called minimum maintenance roads. Now, some counties count the township minimum maintenance roads and also count the minimum maintenance county secondary roads. Some counties don't do that. And so there ends up being an inequitable distribution of that money that's in this bucket. So what this bill does is it merely says you count the minimum maintenance roads in both the townships and in the county secondary system. And then you divide it up equally. And the reason you count those minimum maintenance, because even though they're not fully maintained, they're maintained at less than full maintenance, you still have to take care of the washed out culverts, you still have to fix the washouts, you still got to blade it, you still got to go through and put signage where necessary. So there is maintenance to those roads, it's just not full maintenance. So if they both count all those roads that are minimum maintenance, it will be a fairer distribution of the money. This money came out, or this money, this bill came out of committee 7-0, no opposition. There was no opposition testimony. And so with that, I would appreciate your support, and I'll take my buckets and sit down. Thank you, Mr. President.
That's what we call a bucket list. Very nice. Testing you, I thought it was early, but thank you very much. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 102. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Krauss,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Norstrup,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckowe,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley,
aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. Senate Bill 102, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. Second reading of House bills, please.
House Bill 1003, an act to revise the limitation on the increases and decreases that may be made to the total taxable value of cropland and non-cropland.
House Bill 1003, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Roden, good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. It's my pleasure to bring to you House Bill 1003. Just for clarification, I bring you, House Bill 1003 on behalf of the Ag Land Assessment Oversight Task Force. If you recall, a year ago, or you might not recall because we killed it in committee, a similar bill that would have raised the cap. The reason that was stated in the main reason that was killed at that time was because the ag groups felt that it was appropriate to vet that increase in the caps through the task force. Because after all, that's why this body created that task force, was to provide oversight and recommendations to the legislature for changes to the new ag production system of taxation. I can say that process worked very well, but backing up a little bit, I want to start by explaining what the source of the problem is and what we're trying to fix today. 3 years ago, when we passed the new ag system for taxing ag land based on production and income potential, we understood that when we took that first step and equalized tax starting from a revenue-neutral position with ag, there were a number of counties, especially west of the river, because of the non-ag Z rule that had been in place, virtually all of the sales were getting thrown out. So their valuations had flatlined for a number of years. It was time to make the adjustment and equalize, and when we implemented that new system, there were areas in western South Dakota especially, their assessments were going up 50, 60, 70%, their assessed value. So to give them a soft landing, if you will, we put a 10% cap in the language of the new productivity model. Nobody's assessment could go up or down more than 10% in any given year. I will say that was a well-meaning plan. However, the reality and the situation that we didn't account for or expect was the commodity prices going up as exponentially as they have. The initial cap was to allow us to get to the level water mark, if you will, for a starting point. What's happened in the last 3 years, understanding that we used an 8-year Olympic average, we, from the starting year, we went back 8 years and used 8 years of production history throughout the high year and the low year, averaged the other six. What's happened in recent years, if you go back 8 years, there were still some $2 a bushel corn years. Those years are falling off the average, and we're putting on years where we're looking at $6 a bushel for corn as an example. So the new productivity system is working very well. The biggest fear when we implemented that was that our values would flatline. Exactly the opposite has happened. It is the only class of property that's been increasing the last couple of years. Owner-occupied and commercial have flatlined, if not declined. Ag values have been going up. In some cases, that increase has been greater than 10%, 17% in some areas. So what's happened in those areas where the values have appreciated based on production by, say, 17% with a 10% cap, they're actually getting farther behind. The task force recognized the problem that we were creating, and so we brought House Bill 1003, and what it does very simply is change that 10% cap in a 3-tier system. For starters, it states if your assessment in cropland or non-cropland, your ag assessment is 30% or less behind, the assessor can raise that no more than 15% in 1 year. In other words, it would take 2 years for them to catch up. If your assessment is from 30% to 50% behind in an ag classification, the assessor is allowed to raise it by 20% in a given year. If your assessment is greater than, more than 50% behind, the assessor could raise no more than 25% in a year. It would take 2 years to catch up also on that, under that scenario, assuming there were no additional increases. At any rate, we felt it was, we understand that that will cause an exponentially quicker increase in assessments in ag from where we started now, but we also realize that it's the right thing to do. We knew when we went into a productive a system based on productivity that on the good years the assessments would go up. I think some people get maybe a slanted view that that's the only direction it'll ever go. I don't think that'll be the case. And if it isn't, if commodity prices drop off or we have, God forbid, a drought, when that production goes down, the assessed values will start to cycle down very slowly. And that's why we implemented the 8-year Olympic average. So again, the other thing that we did in House Bill 1003, if you'll see in Section 1, we allowed that 10% cap to expire originally in 2017. Under the circumstance we're doing now, where we're allowing that cap to raise as much as 25%, that committee felt that it was the right thing to do as we're allowing exponential increases in that tax assessment. We felt that it was a wise and prudent thing to do to also extend that safety net by a couple of years. Depending on the circumstances, I don't believe that that safety net will be necessary. If it's not, nothing will have been lost. If it is, it allows us to continue to increase those assessments pretty dramatically, but still prevents, if somebody's in a circumstance where there's a county that's still behind for whatever reason, it just gives them an additional 2 years of safety net. Again, I bring this on behalf of that task force. I would ask you to give credence to the work of that task force. They're a great group of individuals. I was trying to look at the group of individuals. Well, let me do this, because I think it's important. I want to just take 1 second and read the names of the people that are on this committee. is a great group of individuals who are motivated for the right reasons and want to do the right thing. We had Mark Biedenfield, Kirk Chafee, Justin Cronin, Paul Dennert, Jason Frericks, Larry Gabriel, Tom Hansen, Dave Knutson, Ron Olinger, Jim Peterson, Larry Roden, Jim Schaefer, Steve Street, and Billy Sutton. It's a great, great group of people to work with. There's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of history in this on this subject, and I would ask you to pay creed to the work that they've done and adopt House Bill 1003. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no... Thank you, Senator Nordstrom. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Do we have it up here? I'm sorry, Senators. Madam Secretary, do you have... Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's marked 1003 Foxtrot Alpha. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Has it been distributed, sir?
It has.
Does everybody have it? Thank you. Please proceed, sir, and I'll grant you the latitude to speak to the amendment and the bill.
Thank you. There is much to like about this bill. When I look at tax policy, what I look at is fairness. And this bill moves us in the direction of fairness. Right now, there's an inequality between grass, people that own grassland, and people that own cropland. One taxpayer is paying the other guy, the other person's bill. And this bill moves us further, faster, in the direction of creating an equality so that each individual pays their own bill. But the bill is a contradiction, and even though there's much to like about it, there's a problem with it. We're extending the end point. The sooner we get to full implementation, the sooner we get to equality between those two groups. And so I've got an amendment, and what it does is it keeps the end date where it's been. It does not extend it. I think that's if the place you're going is a good place, let's get there quicker and let's make sure we get there in the original 7 years and instead of extending it to 9 years. So with that, I would advocate a yes vote on this amendment.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senator Nordstrom's motion to amend. Further remarks, Senator Adelstein.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an incredibly well thought out amendment, as few words as are involved. For those of you that were here when this bill was passed, it was a replacement for a number of stopgap measures. For example, one of them, the 150% rule. Those of us who are in the real estate business, as I am, always based our acceptance of our appraisals on the income. For example, if I have a tax bill that exceeds 2.5% of what I honestly think the market is, then I don't question it. And if it exceeds 2.5% because my income, in a sense, it's an income tax, and my income really measures the value. And as you know, some incomes have gone down, some have gone up. In fact, I've heard some examples from Minnehaha County where assessments stayed the same while market value went down. Therefore, I think that it is important that we... Oh, let me take one other step. Where did the 10% come from? This was an ill-advised cap that was placed on the bill by, frankly, some business interests because they felt the bill would never pass if it was really a fair amount. Well, the time has come where the fair amount is going to have to be paid. And rather than extend the continued discount to one class of taxpayer, logically at the expense of another class of taxpayer, has come. No longer will we have this discrimination, and let's not extend it another 2 years. This is an excellent amendment. If we could please pass it. And, Mr. President, I ask for a roll call.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Senator Frerichs. Thank you. Senator Roden.
Well, thank you, Senator Frerichs. Members of the Senate, well, just a couple clarifications. The 10% cap was put on as a safety net. Like I said before, the only part it didn't account for was the exponentially increasing ag values under the new productivity system. But that brings up another point. If we were to go back and have not passed productivity, obviously we wouldn't be having this conversation, but ag values would still be dramatically lower than they are today. They've been going up at a minimum of 10% every year since we passed this. This bill will allow them to go up by as much as 25% a year. So, and in fact, the last 2 years, as I mentioned before, ag is the only class of property that's been increasing, and it's increased exponentially. Owner-occupied and commercial have either been flatlined or declining in value. Again, just as a reminder, I looked at this, the composure of this committee once again. Almost right at half, and 7 members on that committee are not directly involved in agriculture. People like Dave Knutson. We have tremendous resources in that committee to bring in the Department of Revenue, to bring in, to accept public testimony. We are very well informed. With all due respect to the former senator that introduced the legislation, I would submit unoffensively that he's operating in a vacuum relative to what that committee has done. We are recommending to raise the assessments, allow the assessments in agriculture to go up 2.5 times what they are currently. And under a system that has already allowed ag values to go up dramatically. I would just again ask you to abide by the recommendations of that committee. If we don't, part of the process, we have to start over again. We go back to the House. But that aside, I think it's the right thing to do. And the committee agreed, and that's why they brought these recommendations. I'd urge you to oppose the amendment and pass 1003. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you to the good senator from out in Union Center for keeping our oversight committee that we work with on task and working together very well. And that's one of the summer meetings I enjoy the most coming to Pier for, is to be around that wealth of information of people. And I sincerely mean that. Each of us have our committees that we will come to Pier for, and I bet each of you have your favorite type of, you know, legislation or committee work that you do and really soak it up, and this is where I'm at. This is what, because I can report to my dirt farmer brother what happens in Pier directly affects our farm operation. And if you look at this amendment, we backed into the system that was flawed. And the reason I ask that we, you know, shoot down this amendment is that it purely shouldn't be needed. But due to the circumstances, if there happens to be a reason that we need to continue to blend into that flawed system that we're still backing into, it's sure nice to have just that little bit of flexibility. And I think when you make your decision, as we value many arguments, and today probably more than ever, we're valuing many discussion items. When you have this amendment, please value on the side that it isn't going to hurt to have that little bit of extra breathing room as we back into that flawed system. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks? Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Adelstein speaks a second time? Senator Adelstein.
This reminds me of the arguments that we had some years ago. It was very clear to some of us then that some ag property that was worth, based on its earnings, $6,000 was only being assessed at let's say half. Oh, yes, this bill deals with half, so we can deal with that. That means that the property would be assessed at $3,000 an acre when it was really worth $6,000. Well, we agreed to the 10% per year. So if this particular $6,000 acre went up 10% a year, we'd go back $3,300, then it would become $3,600. Then the next year, it would be $6,000, and the fourth year, it would be $6,000, which gives us an average of $1,200 plus $600 divided by four is, $12,000. I can't do it that quickly in my head because I only had the time. But anyway, you can all see the principle involved. Now let's take this $3,000, $6,000 piece of property and go by the bill that we have in front of us. Well, let me see. This $3,000 property will only go up $750, 25% the first year, $750 the next year, $750 the third year, and $750 the fourth year. In other words, the third and fourth year, it'll only be going up about $750 rather than $3,000, nearly $3,000 per year. I think it's a interesting concept, but it's an unfair one for those who are presently paying the market value, the true value, the earnings value of real estate. Thank you.
Further remarks on the Northrop motion to amend. Senator Hansen.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I think our debate is kind of wandering off of the point that where we want to be. I would like to speak to the amendment as well as the bill, if I may.
Yes,
please.
Sir. Granted.
And all the legislation that was originally passed was designed to bring about some fairness within the ag sector, and that's really all that this is. Attempting to fulfill that responsibility. Remember, just within the ag sector. If you think back to a different piece of legislation that we passed, I think that the ag sector contributes 18% of local effort. So that's not going to change no matter what we have for evaluations. The component that we're missing is the role that's played by the levy, because as evaluations change, if they go up, the levy goes down. If the valuations go down, the levy goes up. But the desire is to end up with a set number of dollars. The reason for this transition period was to allow make provision so that no one was unjustly enriched because of the rapid run-up in the case of valuations on some of the ag property. And it was also put in place so that no one was penalized because in some instances the value of the ag property went down. And so the things like the levy for county government, the levy for school general fund, or not school general fund, that's taken care of in a different computation, but capital outlay, the special ed, and retirement funds, those were designed so that the levies that went to each of those during this transition period would be tied to the amount of revenue that was gathered up the year before. So don't be confused by the fact that, until we get to the point of where all of the values in the ag property are up to their 100% of their full productivity, which, as has been acknowledged a couple times, probably won't take 4 years to reach that point. But you just never know what values and what kind of things are going to come into play in the formula that's used to calculate the really the important numbers is how do you get to the amount of tax that's to be paid. So the valuation that's placed on this property is important, but equally as important is the levy that's applied to it.
Further remarks. Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Northrop speaks a second time? Senator Hanna.
Mr. President, I have a question for the sponsor of the bill, and it sort of relates to the amendment.
Of the bill or the amendment?
The bill.
Thank you, ma'am. Please state your question to Senator Roden.
Thank you. Okay, the amendment is taking off 2018 and 2019. By leaving it in, does that, I need a conclusion here. By leaving those two dates in, you're applying for some flexibility or some softening that you're talking about. Is that the intent for extending it on for the 2 years?
Senator Roden, do you care to answer the question, sir?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. President, I will. Let me just say it this way to clarify. All we're doing is extending the safety net. The way it is now, after fiscal year or year 2017, if there was a county, for example, that was still 60% behind for whatever reason, we go to fiscal 2018, their assessment would go up the full 60% in the next year. So all we've done is extended that safety net for 2 years. If this amendment fails, the bill passes as it is, that protection would be extended out to 2019. But the crutch of it is we're raising the cap to a maximum of 25%. And so on the one end, we're allowing the cap to be increased. On the other end of it, we're extending the 2 year safety net, if you will, to allow that cap to apply for 2 more years.
Senator Hunoff, you have the floor, ma'am.
Okay. Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Northrup speaks? Senator Peters, good afternoon, ma'am.
Thank you,
wish
Mr.
to speak
President.
To the amendment and the bill?
I have a question for the sponsor of the bill.
Of the bill.
And I think it applies to the amendment as well.
State your question, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to figure out how this is going to affect, because I'm trying to even word the question properly, but we're tweaking a system because of the changes in prices, in valuations. So we're tweaking the system because we're seeing evaluations change in the ag property. How come we didn't do this 5 and 6 years ago when residential and commercial properties were going through the roof and we were trying to hold down property taxes? How come we're holding the two commercial and residential separately from the ag industry? I mean, I know why we made the change six, seven years ago, but why are we holding the two separate? Why don't we just let the change happen?
Senator Rowe, do you care to answer the question, sir?
Yes, Mr. President. Well, thank you for the question. Well, first of all, we did provide protection for commercial and owner-occupied in years past. Same protection that applied for ag in the form of the 150% rule. So there was protection provided then for all classes of property. Insofar as this discussion, it's just we created this new system of taxing ag based on productivity. The reason that we put the cap in there in the first place was because we knew there would be dramatic fluctuations, and we agreed that it was appropriate to give them a soft landing. And we assumed at the time that it would take at the most 5 years for them to get to their full valuation, not accounting for the fact that this appreciation and this skyrocketing of production costs would put us farther behind. We recognize that now. That's the circumstance we're in, and so we're taking appropriate steps to allow that assessment to keep up with the new productivity value. And, again, the result of that is very exponential increases in ag value statewide.
Senator Peters, you have the floor, ma'am. Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Northrup speaks a second time? Senator Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment's fairly simple. There has been an inequality between grass and cropland for probably 20 years. And what we're doing is we are decreasing the inequality. There's two choices before you. One choice is to guarantee that this journey will be done in 5 years. The other choice is to guarantee the journey will be done in 7 years. So it's a simple choice. So here's my position. I've got people in my county that own crop and grassland. And one of them has been paying the bill for the other one. And they know it. And when I go back and tell them that we were able to come to an agreement to guarantee them equality in 5 years, that's a success. Why should we extend that inequality further? It's a simple amendment in that let's get to equality sooner. What can be bad about achieving that equality sooner?
Further remarks on the Northrop motion to amend. Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Adelstein speaks a third time?
Three?
I keep track. Senator Adelstein.
Thank you, Mr.
My
President.
My job.
I'd like to give a different answer to the excellent question from the senator from Minnehaha County. Why didn't we do it 5 years ago, 4 years ago? I'll tell you why. At that time, Senator Northrop and I and several others brought to this floor a study by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that showed in some counties in this state, in fact, in the toll state, that in terms of income, this property was valued at 50% of its real value. So those of us that thought it should go up immediately to the fair value, as you mentioned, owner-occupied and commercial property, thought that it should go there. Well, in a compromise, in order to get the bill, we did exactly what Senator Roden, and in all fairness, he was a compromiser and really saw what was happening, and as he said, we wanted to have a soft landing. Well, if you would have landed without a parachute, you would have been killed. But we agreed to a landing that would be supported by a parachute in 5 years. And now, well, let's get a little bigger parachute and let's extend it out another 2 years. I don't think that's fair, and that isn't what we agreed to 4 years ago. And I think that this is an excellent amendment. Let's stay with the compromise that was reached. It's fair and it's accurate. Thank you very much, and I will not speak a fourth time, probably.
I can be more declarative than that. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I respectfully call the previous question.
All those in favor of the previous question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. I am a mind reader. Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? Thank you. He is supported. The question before the Senate is Senator Northrop's motion to amend marked 1003, Foxtrot Alpha. Those in favor of that motion to amend will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Begalka?
No.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
No.
Frerichs?
No.
Frisley?
No.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heinemann?
Aye.
Holeen?
No.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Johnston?
Aye.
Junkie?
No.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
No.
Nelson?
Aye.
Northrop?
Aye.
Nygaard?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
No.
Rampelberg?
No.
Rave?
No.
Roden?
No.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
No.
Tiedemann?
No.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
No.
Mr. President, there were yeas 16, nays 19.
Senator Northrop's motion to amend marked 1003, Foxtrot Alpha, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members present, is hereby declared lost. Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I wasn't going to get up, and I usually have stayed out of these fights on the floor, but I want everyone to hearken back to 7, 8, 10, 12 years ago, and the reason we have productivity, and I've supported it all along. I've supported Senator Roden and Senator Knudsen. And the Senator from Aberdeen and I have disagreed on implementation at times. But let's look back to why we have it, folks, and remember why we have it. It's because we had a 150% rule that just wasn't working. We were keeping some people's valuations at an artificially low level. Now, you could argue here today, and we've had the argument, that they continue to be artificially low for some people, for some landowners. But today I'm asking you to support this bill. Let's get it passed. We're moving some of them up to 25% a year. We're going to get there. Whether you believe it should be 5 years or 7 years, don't let that drag down the bill. Let's get this bill passed, get it on the books, and move forward. Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1003? Thank you very much. Question before the Senate, therefore, is final passage of House Bill 1003. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frericks.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krauss.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
No.
Olson.
No.
Peters.
No.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Broden.
Aye.
Schluckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 30, nays 5.
House Bill 1003, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. On behalf of Senator Bradford, I would like to welcome, on behalf of not only Senator Bradford, but all of us, the senior government class from Kadoka Area High School, and Mr. Dave Ortman, who is their advisor, and also I think Mark DeVries, Representative DeVries, is up here too. So please stand. South Dakota Constitution requires that the presiding officer of the Senate sign bills that have been passed in both the House and the Senate in open session. And the President is signing an act to revise certain parole hearings, provisions regarding inmate compliance waivers and teleconferences. President is signing an act to repeal and revise certain provisions relating to the Department of Corrections. Sorry, Carolyn, that first one was 1022, and this is 1023. President is signing an act to make aggravated incest a violent crime for purposes of setting an initial parole date. That's House Bill 1025. Any announcements? Announcements, Senator Hunoff.
Mr. President, can I have some latitude and levity?
Yes, ma'am. Anything that starts with the letter L.
Thank you. Well, members of this prestigious body, I have three questions, and I'd like your response to the three questions. Number one, are we committed to getting our kids fired up about their privilege to vote in this state?
Yes!
Are we the best basketball team in the legislature?
Yes!
Do we believe in tradition?
Yes!
Well, since we've answered yes to all three of those, we are scheduled to play in the kids' voting basketball game on Monday, February 27th. And the important piece is that our badges are here, and it says, repeat the defeat. What
Whoa.
Does that mean?
Whoa.
We are going to what?
Win.
Louder.
Win.
One more time.
Win.
Thank you. Senator Peters is our treasurer, and she will be collecting the funds, and we will keep tradition in place, and we'll keep you informed. I've got the lineups in the sense. If you want to sign up, we need all of you. If you don't want to play, we'll certainly take your money. My intern will be getting that out to you, and I want to say thank you. Onward with the Senate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, and I advise all of you that state workers' comp will not cover any injuries. Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, thank you, Senator Hanna, for a fantastic segue into raising money for such a great cause. Even if you play, guess what? I want your money. We'll be taking checks or cash, and I'll have a list. And if I don't get something, I'll come find you. So thank you very much, and I hope you participate.
It's very friendly. Senator Johnston.
How do you ever follow that? Senate ad tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. Senator Krebs.
Senate ag, 10 o'clock tomorrow.
10 o'clock ag. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Commerce and Energy, 10 o'clock, room 423.
Thank you. Senator Thiessen.
Senate Judiciary Committee at 7:45.
Thank you. Senator Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Appropriations Bill hearings tomorrow, 8:30, LRC 1. We have 9 bills with plus 2 below the line.
Thank you. Any other announcements? I have one. Mount Vernon High School senior government class is also here with their instructor, Darian Hardy. And on behalf of Center Valley and all of us, welcome. Mount Vernon. Any other announcements? Madam Secretary.
Senator Hunhoff moves the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.